Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so happy to know that the Tree of Life has been made available to us, so that which was impossible for 6,000 years has now been made possible. For all the armament, as it were, that has been stripped away, keeping us from the Tree of Life, and all the creeds and dogmas we believe, Lord, being stripped away from our hearts and minds, so that we now also, forgetting those things which are behind, can stretch forth to receive of the Tree of Life, already having done so, to walk into immortality, not missing one breath or one step, one wink of the eye. It's a very wonderful thing, Lord, which we countenance tonight, but we know that it's true. Help us, Lord, to revere you as never before, to revere the prophet as never before. This great word, Lord, that's getting us ready as never before, because we know everything has been given to us under the seventh seal, the seven thunders, to put us into the rapture. We know that to be true, Lord. There's been nothing left, and whatever will come, Lord, is just going to be a continuation of what we already have, and we're so appreciative of that. Help us to study your word tonight with the very motive of which it was given, Lord, with the very understanding with which it was given. In short, Lord, may the same Holy Spirit that was gave this to the prophet, now give it to us, breaking it down to us in this hour, feeding our souls that we may grow up into Christ as never before, feeding the Christ within us, giving him the preeminence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're on number 4, I believe it is, in doing God a service apart from his will. And, of course, we are acquainted with the fact that Brother Branham was once again explaining the necessity of the prophet not only to receive a revelation of the word from God and to explain it to the people for God, but also to correct, advise, and lead the people, especially in an epical strategic season. And this was God's ordained plan to keep his people in the proper realms of worship and service. For the people to simply receive the word, that is, without the word being actually broken down and given to them, so they would apply it with understanding and utilize it. For the people then simply to receive the word and apply human reasoning to it was disastrous, in that one word off became like a bullet a thousandth of an inch off course and would miss the target entirely. So man could be 90% correct. He could be, you know, and miss God entirely, as strange as that may sound. Now, Brother Branham's exact words on that, the bullet going off, is on page 17 and paragraph 85. But we're going to start with 84, recap a bit. Now, don't miss this. They failed to get it because they hadn't consulted. And by doing that, not having consulted, by going to the priest, by going to the theologian, and by going to the military forces, and not even considering their God-sent messenger of the hour, Nathan, they did it wrong. Now, see, they actually had the word, they had everything there, but they failed to go to God concerning that word to know what God would have done at that particular time, that the word must be applied, at least as far as they knew. They went and picked up the ark and put it upon a new cart, or a new denomination is going to start up, and not the God-given ordained way to pack it. Now, you can see right there that a denomination can start quite easily by methods. And it was Dr. Paris Reedhead who brought it out to me years ago, that the very word Methodist, and I think he was perhaps Methodist many, many years back, is the same word that in the Greek is the wiles of the devil. He made a lot over that thought, and I can see why. See, methodology is one of the great things that people strive for. And by that you understand, I'm speaking of even mechanical things in life, like, Galbraith, I believe, was one of these time engineers. And you know, Brother Stan Savotsky is also a time engineer. And nothing wrong with Stan, he's a good brother. But if we're looking at what goes on in the world, and the time engineers, they're very concerned with methodology. There's got to be efficiency. There's got to be, you know, everything just right to make everything go. Well, people apply a methodology to God, and the trouble is it's a human methodology.
Because God, as I've often said, is actually very, very inefficient as far as man is concerned. The wisdom of God is foolishness with man, and vice versa, the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. I don't like Woody Allen on the account of his dirty mouth, but I do admit he's a very clever individual. And I've told you more than once that when he asked Woody Allen, what do you think of Jesus Christ? He said he was an underachiever. That's absolutely the truth. That man was like Michener hitting things on the head. It's very strange that children of darkness are smarter many times than the children of light. That's so-called light, that would be. But also light when it comes to those tricky things we often talk, you know, those little inside things. But man, you can see here that denominations literally start up by people who want to do things different. See? It's not just necessarily that people get their heads together and they say, well, we'll subscribe to this understanding of the word. And now you go cast back in your minds of what you know of splits in churches and denominational divisions and things. And you know that I'm telling you the truth, that many times a new denomination arises out of how shall we do something. See, now let's take the down in Africa, Brother Branham. He actually was not happy with what was going on there by the Pentecostals who were, I forget what they're called now. That's some type of faith anyway involved. And what they were doing, they were both baptizing. But one group was baptizing face forward because they said, now see, Jesus didn't fall backward on the cross. He fell face forward. So you put him in the water face forward. And somebody said, well, who in the world ever heard of a man being buried face forward? Buried face up. So they split over that. They didn't split over the fact that you should be baptized. But they had a new denomination. Now, if someone could have settled the word, he would have condemned them all or brought them all in. But they, you see what they're doing here, what the prophet is showing you here, that just a little even tricky thing like that will just cause a terrible misdemeanor in the sight of Almighty God. Now, he said here they put it on new cart, a new denomination going to start up, and not upon the God-given ordained way to pack the ark. It was supposed to be packed on the shoulders of the Levites, but you see, when you start wrong, you'll keep on going wrong. Now, see, there was nothing wrong with wanting the ark where it belonged. There was nothing wrong with bringing the ark back. See, what was wrong? Well, they said, we'll just put this on a new cart. Because, you know, that sounds good because it sounds like a new start. Get a new start. You get a new start, that's bound to be right. No, it's interesting, but it's not necessarily right. It's not necessarily right. It's interesting. You know, even when people make decisions, you can make the wrong decision. But the fact is that you made the decision seems to benefit you and make you happy, though it's the wrong decision. And later on, when the nerves have had their little relaxation because you have made the decision, then they start tightening up again and you're in worse shape than ever. And you notice every time you denominate, it's worse shape than ever. It gets worse and farther and farther from God. I know the Protestants think the Catholics are furthest from God. Let me advise you that if you miss God by an eighth of an inch, there's no difference in missing by 100 miles. You missed Him. There's where the Protestants are completely, you know, fooled with their reasoning. Very fallacious. You see, but you see, when you start wrong, you keep on going wrong. Now, when he speaks here of going to the priest, the theologian, and the military forces, and he includes the military forces, which he did, he went to all the people, you can see that this could be a very perfect picture of men outside the fivefold ministry taking over, such as the full gospel businessmen began doing after the fishers of men did it with the denominational fundamentalists. Now, you know, fishers of men, they had a little fish hooked in their lapels, and they were the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and Nazarenes, and the fundamentalists, and they were out to win souls, which is a good thing and no problem there. But when they invaded the pulpit, that's when they died. Now, remember, under the Pentecostals, they really excoriated the pastors, the individuals, that, of course, would be very inefficient. Very inefficient. And God being so efficient, they would then come to the place where these other men could not possibly come, though they have gifts and callings, and their great efficiency would then do the cause of Christ magnificent benefit. So they said, you see, you ministers, so-called fivefold or whatsoever, you're not doing the job, and we have a revelation and a vision that the job must be done, it'll be done by us. Exactly right, the job was done for the devil. All robbers called their bluff, and they got mad. He said, we've got enough trouble now without you people getting to the pulpit. But that didn't deter them. And, oh, did they turn on Brother Branham? If you think some of the preachers were bad, well, you should figure out how he felt. In Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, one place. Yeah. Go to Minneapolis, check it out there. I could name you a bit different places. And how they rose up against Almighty God. Rose up against the prophet. So now you had the pew organized to defy the prophet, and you had the fivefold so-called, the ministry, to defy the prophet. So I think Brother Branham was literally letting the people know. Absolutely. See? They went to the wrong source. Now, let's understand this. He said, when you start wrong, see, you'll keep on going wrong. Now, the prophet absolutely gave us his unmitigated promise that everything to put us in the rapture was already ours under the seventh seal and the seven thunders, right? It's already there. Then what would you need anything else for? You wouldn't need anything else, and I wouldn't need something else, see? Now that, of course, is exactly the third chapter of the book of Acts. We know the scripture that refers to it, so we have no trouble looking at it. He said here in verse 19, the middle part, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Okay, that was under the seals. The time of refreshing came. And it says, even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was ordained or preached unto you, whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, and the word began. Now he tells you right here, there's a great revival coming. It was a great healing revival. A fresh breath of God, letting the people know that God was there doing something. It was an epical, strategic season. Now, he said right at this time, this is the hour that the earth is going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ back to it. But it said, hold it. That can't come until there's restoration. Now then, what must come on the scene at the very time of this great revival? What must the revival present? The revival must present Elijah. But Elijah does not come by himself. That's the day of the Lord. See? So what you have then, you have everything that Brother Branham taught us, which will put us into a rapture. We're depending on it. See? But the world isn't depending on it. They haven't caught it. They cannot place the prophet. They will not recognize that it is so. Now what's going to happen to those people? They'll reject. They will end up in the great tribulation. Now we'll hear more of this as time goes on, because we're going to see what happens when they turn down the word of the Lord. There's a certain direction they've got to go. Now, in paragraph 85, he said, if a bullet is supposed to be directed to a target, or at a target, and you jerk the barrel 1/1000th of an inch off here to begin with, at 100 yards, you're 4 to 5 inches off, you start wrong. So in other words, there it is. Now, that's 1/1000th inch off the word. 1/1000th inch off of making the rapture. 1/1000th inch off of serving God. See, that's what he's talking about. Now listen. Oh, God help us to know this thing has started wrong. These great crusades of the hour, as they are so called. Now what is he talking about? When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The great ministry started something. And it started great crusades. It spearheaded them. That's what went on. Now, the bullet I look at is the word of the living God. And that requires a prophet where the bullet left off. And something is wrong in this hour. And they did not call in the prophet, because the prophet was given by God to spearhead the great revival which is coming to a bride, which is here in order to get a bride off the earth and to bring back Christ in millennial reign. Now, that's what we see. We're looking at. Now, If people truly understood what Brother Branham is saying, they would have come to him in order to know the word to be preached for the hour, which is end time evangelism. I know that people simply cannot understand where Brother Branham was coming from. They can't understand where we're coming from. There's no man living outside. He's got the same spirit I got, right or wrong, is going to know where I'm coming from. Because, you see, I tell you flatly, although I do not argue about the blood being on or off the mercy seat, I can tell you very plainly, though many of you say, well, the blood, the word is in the bride. I concur with all those things. I simply make the blanket statement that the blood does you no good whatsoever if you turn down the light. And that's the blanket statement that counts. Because if you walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. If you don't walk in the light, there's no blood to cleanse you. So you see, we're looking at this thing here at end-time evangelism. And end-time evangelism is not the preaching of Christ crucified. End-time evangelism is to both the Gentile and to Israel that Christ has returned in the form of the Holy Spirit, God's great gift. And is setting the church in order to get a bride out of here. People don't want to, they don't want that kind of evangelism. They don't want to hear it's wind up time, that this is the hour to come to the tree of life. This is the time for the dead to come out of the ground. And they say, well, look here, we just got this message here, and the message is that Christ crucified. That is true. That's what Paul started with. But it is no longer that. It is Christ risen amongst us according to Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 12. That is end time evangelism. And anybody failing to preach that is not going to get true, genuine converts. You can't do it. Because you see, this is the hour when the reaper catches up with the sower. William Branham's vision of Hebrews 6 was that a man went out in white to sow and a man came behind in black. That is not Matthew 13. That's Hebrews 6. Now, you've been sitting under ministry long enough to know exactly what I'm talking about. And everyone should have a very responsive chord in their hearts and minds when I say these things. Not just to agree because I'm saying them. You agree because you know they're the truth. Because that's exactly the truth. The book opened at Hebrews 6. The Bible did not open by the Holy Ghost breathing in the room on Matthew 13. It was Hebrews 6. And right after that comes the burning. See, so therefore there is a message that precedes judgment to get you out of the judgment, which Paul said you are aware of in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord descended to heaven. And people don't even know he descended. It's like Brother Branham, right in this message here, he talks about the presence of God. Let's move the ark up. Now he said, the ark was supposed to be brought back to Jerusalem, to the proper place where it belonged, for the presence of God and the people to consult and to know the things of God. Then he said, this man David, fresh from the presence of God. There's then two kinds of presence. You follow me? He wasn't present at the ark. The ark was way down yonder. So that wasn't that presence. It was another presence. And so there's a presence like of the baptism, and there's a presence of the baptizer. And you try to tell people that today, they won't catch it. They can't understand. I don't see how that's so hard to understand. Where'd you get the baptism from in the first place? See? So they, for me to and you listen, if you think this is something to be laughed at, let me tell you right now, there's a man that I know, and I received a phone call the other night, and he told me how his own father-in-law is willing to break up his marriage, his daughter, because he hates what we believe. Give $100,000 to build her house or something else. I said, to turn the heat on. We want her back. You hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said, or did you? What's in people's hearts? If I had a daughter married to a fine young man, if he wasn't even saved, but a fine young man, I'd just pray for them. Now, this man's supposed to have love. Do you understand that religion he's got has to be the religion of Cain? Look, you young people, you're sitting here. Well, we can make this very personal. Pete's a good friend of mine, so he doesn't mind me getting personal. How'd you like to answer? And Chris, if your dad stepped in now. I said, no, I'll bust you up. How'd he kill you? Killers, that's right. So you wonder when sometime I get a headache and I'm a little upset at times. A little nasty at times, quite nasty other times, and very nasty at other times. And people want me to back away. And I'm the guy with the dirty spirit. You're the people that stink. You're sitting here. If I ever beat you over the head, take the thing from you. Who'd you send her to the dead? I'm not boasting, Salene, either. I'm just letting you know. Everybody talk about heaven ain't going there. That's for you and me both. This thing's deeper than what people realize. Can't stand it. Now he said here concerning this end time revival that's going on, he said God is not consulted about it. Consulted about what? The Great Crusade. They flocked to see William Branham. They couldn't flock hard enough and fast enough and enough. What did they come away with? Their own ideas. Let me tell you something. The world could have flocked to a Steinmetz and one or two understood. Because very technically involved, that man was a brilliant genius, or Tesla. Just name any number of them. I don't consider Edison their category. He was all right. He took a lot of things the other men worked on. But Tesla, especially, the things that he did, they haven't caught up to yet. America very smartly sent all of his trunks of blueprints and plans back to Yugoslavia. Who's got them now? Russia. Oh, America's very brilliant. They give everything away, then wonder why they're being kicked in the teeth and being destroyed from within and without, see. But anyway, I'm talking about these men. If only a very few could possibly go there. The majority might simply go and say, well, it's interesting to know what this man can produce, and they'd be happy to just, you know, have him take a little peek of curiosity and have their curiosity suffice for a little bit. But to really get to know what he was into would take someone of his stature, which men of his stature weren't extant. He was that one. But when you talk about a prophet on the scene who could stand and say, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee healing. Bring me your worst case, I guarantee healing, and does it. And casts out devils and does what no man or any company men can do. Then they come and don't want to inquire what's behind it. Draw their own conclusions. Now listen, I know that it's easy for me to say that because I'm one of the fortunate ones who could stand back and do that. But I understand others very, very anxious to think they're going to do God the great service. And oh my, if we get so many people healed, they're bound to turn to God. That is a farce. Brother Branham's ministry, he says he brought 750,000 people into Trinitarian assemblies of God, which is idolatry. Actually, I can say this with kind of a smile. It's not as I'm laughing at anything. It's just that I'm nonplussed in which way to go. But I tell you, Brother Branham did a great service, as it were. And I fall in his footsteps to do the same service to Satan's kingdom more than to God's in a certain sense of the word. Because I look back at what fruit I had, and they're out there. They're not in here like they did. And it's far-reaching. It actually also went around the world before you ever got to know me. Magazines, everything else established upon part of my ministry. Dead Pentecostal. There's a lot to learn from this. They wouldn't consult with the prophet. They wouldn't say, what is this all about? What is this great crusade? What is going on here? They wouldn't do it. Priests and religious men are consulted. Organizations are consulted. Well, we will have such and such. I believe if we could get everybody together. Don't get everybody together. Just get God's word about it. Now, that's what you and I look at, and we're trying to, by the grace of God, though very, very poorly. Inculcate in here a spirit that is this spirit he's talking about. What does the Word say about it? Not just a matter of, a mechanical aspect, but the motivation. What is really behind it? Like we're getting into these messages here. Looking at what Brother Branham says word by word. What is really behind what he is saying? What's he really driving at? You know, casually anybody can take this sermon. Outside of people like us, they can say, that's a fine sermon, and miss every single thing you and I are looking at. Because they say, oh, that's just a great warning. Everybody ought to do God a service, but he ought to be careful. Like, don't cast your pearl before swine. Now, this sermon here has nothing to do with that at this point, at least. Nothing to do with that. Far, far beyond that. Actually, he said, don't get everybody together. Just get God's word about. In other words, one person, one word. And the word comes by one person. Remember, Brother Branham said, all hell is against this. All hell is against this. One person for the word. Not two, not three, not a company, not a consultation, a consortium, a forum, a synod, you name it. One man. And then the gates of hell are against the presence. So the gates of hell are against William Branham, one man, and God. And all hell. Now, if you want to get to heaven, that's the gate to heaven. You say, oh, Brother Vail, I think I believe in Jesus. What do you think I'm talking about? I wonder what people think I'm talking about. That is he in the form of the pillar of fire.
Amen.
The form of the Holy Spirit. That's that one who said, before Abraham was, I am. See, let's go back to beyond the manifestation, before God ever manifested. This is a manifestation of the God who was without manifestation at one time, at least as far as we know. You know, you can only go so far back and then you got to stall. Then we find that when they do that, they don't consult the right one. They just get together, you see. What happens? They continue to go right on with their same old religious program, which is out of the Word of God and the will of God, which is outside, you see. Wait a minute. That thing died years ago, those old dried up things of years ago. Well, when men begin to formulate things, what do they formulate? They formulate a pattern which they are sure in their own minds will bring success in building the kingdom of God. Now, let's go back and look at what's supposed to build the kingdom of God per se. That's Ephesians the 4th chapter. Now, I'm not going to try to stand up for a fivefold ministry and make it everything. You know that. But come on. Okay, we'll start with the 4th chapter. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. Now, that's fivefold ministry in every single member. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, how do you keep the Spirit in unity in the building? Being peaceful, turning the cheek, bearing, forbearing, going the mile. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, that's a very strong statement. And yet he can take his picture solitarily, stand right there. In other words, there's nothing that God isn't in somehow and some way. But when you talk about God per se, like Brother Branham said, the token is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then you better beware of those words, or you'll be tricked. You'll say, well, hallelujah, I got the token. Not that token you don't have, brother, sister. You have a token from the token. Because not one person is the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this building. Not even William Branham per se, though he comes the closest. And that would be momentarily. He said when Moses was, the word was in Moses, veiling the word, and he was God to the people. He was no longer Moses. But when the word was delivered, he was no longer God to the people. He was Moses. So we understand. All right. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So Christ is up there giving something. Wherefore he said, when he sent it up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is the first? He descended also the lower parts of the earth. Now what was it that went down there? Not the body. He went down there in the form of the soul and spirit, no doubt, of what he had there. Unless the spirit just simply went back to God, he went down in, as the soul. That would be perfectly legitimate. And he that descended is the same also to send up far above heaven, and that he might fill all things. So therefore, the one that went down went up and sent that Spirit back upon us. Now, in that lies apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, fivefold ministry. Now, what is this for? Through the Holy Ghost, this is given for the perfecting of the saints. Now, notice how what he got there first. The big thing is to bring the saints to a perfection, to a final conclusion where there's nobody else to come in and they're all child trained. So, therefore, the fivefold ministry is with us. For the edifying of the body of Christ, building it up. How long is it going to take till we all come in the unity of the faith and even the knowledge of the Son of God, that's what we're into in Ephesians, the first chapter, unto the measure, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, no more coming in, that we that at that time henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried off every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head even Christ, whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. All right, now, and in here you will see God has ordained a certain way in order for the church to have what the church wants to have, if it is at all in tune with God. And the church can be in tune in certain ways, and this is the way it's to be brought. Now they say, well, we're going to try other methods. Now, one of the great methods is this, and everybody knows, the Catholic Church is supposed to have said, you give me a child till he's 4 years of age, he will never be anything but a Catholic. So the Protestants say, ha-ha, we'll fix that with Sunday school. So we start Sunday schools, and we get buses, and we organize, and we have it worked out. Now you show me where Sunday school is in the Word of God. Where did God ever separate a family or a people at any time? He never did. And Brother Branham categorically said it was a Methodist dogma, which it certainly is. It was Raggedy Sunday, Raggedy School or something they call it. Now, I'm not against it. I think it's very nice for very nice people. But we're not nice people. Thought you got to admit it. We're just not nice people. We're born again people. If you're just a nice person, that's what does that do for you? See? Because if Abraham was a nice man, did nice things, wonderful. But what's it get with God? Doesn't cut any ice at all. So, all right, we're looking at this thing here. That died years ago, those old dried up things of years ago. Okay. In other words, the life has gone out of everything but this message. It had dried up in the days of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know it. He said, if you'd known Moses, you'd have known me, for Moses said I was coming. Well, bring that down to these ages. Bring it down to the fact today. If the Catholics had actually known the messenger that God sent to them, which they did not know, and only a few got right with God, they would have known Luther. But they didn't know Luther. Because they were devoid of the Spirit that recognized the man that God sent in that dark age. Now, the Lutherans have their day. And only a few Lutherans recognize Wesley. Why? Because the Spirit's not there anymore. It's gone. Now, the Wesleyans, some of them, recognize Pentecost. Not many, because the Spirit was gone. Now, can the Pentecostals recognize us? Only a few. And this is the hour that God's message does not say, come out of Pentecost, my people. He says, come out of Babylon, which is everybody that's in chaos. And that's everybody because the Laodicean age is wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, and doesn't know it. And they think they got everything at their fingertips. So it's a universal call to come on out. Now, the thing is this, who is going to come out? Those who recognize the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and them only. And no denomination at this time has the power to recognize it. And no group of men. And no ministers per se. That is a bunch of them. Become a very individual thing. Little seed here, little seed there, right around the world. See, because the light has gone out of every single organization. There is no life in any organization anymore. That's why the Bible says over here in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, Let's just take a look at it, because this is a very important chapter. The condition that Brother Branham came into at that sowing time. He said, all right, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. This we'll do if God permit. What if God didn't permit? Paul said, let's go and finish it off. Let's finish it all off. Now over here in Ephesians, there's one God, one faith, one body, one this, one that, and bringing to perfection. We're going to finish it off. Fivefold ministry set up to do it. God doing it his own way, not by man's way. God bringing a bride out the way God wants it brought out. Just like, don't put it on that cart, do it God's way. That's a big lesson. Now remember, at this time, Brother Branham preaches this, the vision shows that Brother Branham is the one that sows this word by the grace of God. God is sowing it, but he sows it by prophets. Okay, now he said, we're going to go to perfection. We're going to go on to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, if God permits, but God did not permit. No, couldn't. There's bride 2,000 years down the road. Bride unborn. Still waiting to come forth. Now, he said it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the power of the world to come, having fallen away to ever be renewed to repentance again at this particular time. You see, now this does not do it. What has been previous doesn't do it. Luther looked to it. Wesley looked to it. Pentecostals looked to it. This hour, we're looking at it. We're not looking to it. We're looking at it. There it is right there. Because he said, when Moses went down to Israel, to Egypt, and God went with him, God did not appear just in signs and wonders, but God made himself known visibly upon Mount Sinai. So today the camera caught the picture. And he equated that one to this picture, which we know to be the truth, the ring of angels. See? All right. We're looking at this picture here then. Israel, if they fall away, it cannot ever happen. Why? Because they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, how can you crucify the Son of God afresh unless he appears identically as he did to get his first crucifixion? Now, come on. Why did they crucify him? You know why they crucified him. He upset the money changer, knocked him out of the temple, but he argued and he showed them up to what they were. A great healing revival. And he does the same thing for the Gentiles. So what did they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh? So you see what's going on here. See? Now, the people today cannot recognize this. Why? Because the life has gone out of all of it. What do you need life anymore in justification if the bride has been declared righteous? There's no more to go to. Somewhere between the time God gets off, Jesus gets off that throne, the temple fills with smoke, then everything is voided. The last one's in. See, somewhere in there. Every one of these things, the life has got to go out of it. And the life goes to one word, the word of this hour. Because that's the one word left, immortality. And I'm rising with healing in my wings. And as I do, you're going to see the revelation and the manifestation of the days of the Son of Man. You're going to see every bit of this. And at that particular time, you are going to see destruction. And Brother Branham later on speaks of throwing the rock in the air. It's already passed and gone over, and judgment's ready to strike. Then the life has gone out of this. It's not that God's plan ever got destroyed. My brother said, it's God's plan fulfilled. When you have a man build you a house, and there stands the house, and here stands the blueprint, you're going to say, well, look at that. That house just ruined this. You say, praise God. This is fulfilled in that. Then I don't need this. Why? Because it's all in the edifice. And we're looking at that right now. How many more are ever going to get saved? I don't know. He said, Brother Bill, do you believe everybody said, I don't know. All I know is when the last one's in and child trained, that's it. That's where I stand. You say, what year? Who knows? Quite a few years back, I figured that I'd be standing here in good health and get taken out of here. Now I think I'm going to be dead as a dodo and cold as a cucumber and moldering in the ground for all I know, the way it's going so slow. That doesn't bother me. That's what's the difference. I can experience both things. Well, they can't experience having lived immortality without dying, but I can experience dying and get immortality. Doesn't matter how listen, it's not a loss in any way. It's a great gain. No matter, we can't lose because we're winners. You know, and winners don't lose, and losers don't win. No, you see, they couldn't recognize. In Moses' day, in Jesus' day, they couldn't recognize that spirit. You see? No way. They said our fathers did eat man in the wilderness. Sure. Jesus said, they're all dead. Blind is what he called those Pharisees, those religious leaders. Except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. But they didn't do it. They didn't believe, see? They were so set in their ways, they had to have it their way, and we know the ways of sin is death. Now, they recognized and identified with the priest, and the past, especially in the past. But they failed to see the word of the hour. Now, you notice that Lutherans identify with Luther, but it doesn't do them any good. Wesleyans identify with Wesley, it doesn't do them any good. Pentecost identify with what happened in 1906, it doesn't do them any good. Why? Because a greater than Solomon is here. See? They wouldn't do it. Their way is gone. That's the way David did it. He had it in his way. So he just said, you know what I'll do? We're moving. He had a revelation. We're moving now, so we'll do it in a new way. The days of miracles are past, so we'll just make another organization. Now, let's just take a look at that little word Brother Branham says. The days of miracles are past. Now, the Roman Catholic Church never said that. They never said that. They believe the days of miracles are here. They're kind of miracles. Sure. They believe in pictures crying and apparitions, so-called visions. You know, Lady Fatima and all kinds of things about the Virgin Mary. They believe in all those things. They don't say the days are past, the miracles. And the Protestants don't say that. Not too many of them. Oh, there's a bunch of them, really, when you count them. There's too many to be comfortable with. But you can't find the universal statement, days of miracles past. Even your cheap pulp magazines and pulp papers run miracles all the time. But they're not the miracles that Brother Branham was talking about. You see? What he was talking about, let's go on reading it. He said here, we'll build a new car and show them a new way, a new thing that started. What a false prophecy. We've got to go back the way God said to do it. And we read a little further on, which I won't take at this time here. But there, when you talk about these days of miracles over, what I look at is here, Brother Branham is referring to the miracles of a prophet. And all denominations have their own prophets, which is creeds and dogmas and synods and councils. So they cannot accept the miracle of the prophet coming wherein he discerns and does those things that he's supposed to do, which we'll see a little later on as we read that far. So he said here, they put it upon the shoulders of Levites, and that was over the heart. The ark, the word, is not to be packed upon a new denomination, but upon the theories of some man, but in the heart. Notice, over the heart, in the heart. Now watch, carefully, lest you get caught in this, your own thinking. Let's keep reading. The word of God is not to be handled by denominations. It's to be handled by the heart of a man where God can come in there and reveal himself. Now you say, that's me. Well, I'm glad you think that's you. It's sure not me. I'm off the hook right there. That's not me. That's not I. I'm not doing that. That's the prophet. Now watch. And if he reveals it according to the word, it's God. What word? Deuteronomy. Let's just take a look at Jeremiah. I want to read that because Jeremiah 1 and 1 because Brother Branham will give us five things we've got to watch out for. Okay, the word of the Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. That's the first chapter, first verse. The priest to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came in the days also Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year, Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem into the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, where was he before then? Well, he was in the egg and in the sperm. Yep. Trace it all the way down. And who did he trace it from? Mother, 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 all the way back. Father, 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 all the way back. He knew him when? Before the speck of stardust. Okay. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That's like John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost. And ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now that's where Brother Branham says, one day you'll realize that you weren't given eternal life the day you were born again. You'll realize you always were eternal. See, look at it right here. Right, that's the way it is. And I said, oh, Lord, behold, I cannot speak. I'm a child. Lord said, say not a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and so on and so on. All right. We're looking at here then, we're looking at a prophet to whom God can come and indwell, take charge, like we read in the Christ Mystery God Revealed. We were right in the straitjacket. God has complete control. Where Brother Branham admits categorically that he is Elijah, completely controlled by God. That's the kind of man you're looking to. Now, if he reveals it according to the word of God, if it isn't, it's not. Then the word of that season. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, where he comes in a special way with a special vindication. See? Now, again, you're looking at the baptizer in his presence. You are not looking at the presence through the baptism. No way. Sure, a Pharisee could say, who told us that we can't do this and that? Moses gave us these orders, but Moses also said. Satan said, why it's written. He'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and so on. Jesus said, it's also written. Now, what you're looking here is the word of God out of the context of where it is to be applied and how to be applied. The devil used that. It's also written to Jesus. The season, the time. If you had known Moses, you have one to accuse you, Moses. If you had known Moses, you'd have known me. Okay? You'll notice here that Jesus is telling the people what we've often said. The scripture can only be used in the revealed framework of the revealed scripture. Example, Satan and Eve. He just took it right out there. Now, the time to know Moses was then. They said, we knew Moses. He said, you don't. The time to know Moses was then. How then? By the presence of Christ. Because in him was the same spirit that was in Moses. For Moses wrote to me, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet among you of your brethren, him you shall hear. If you'd known Moses, you'd have known me. Now let us try to understand the sermon, the seriousness rather, of this, what he's saying here. Here is a prophet prophesied to be Messiah, and they missed him. That's exactly what he's telling you. Then what about this hour when they failed to consult Jesus, failed to consult William Branham? They wouldn't do it. Now you say, well, listen, William Branham puts himself on a very high level. William Branham didn't put himself on a high level. God put him on a high level. It just takes those of us to understand that level, that because we're seated in the same heavenly place in Christ. They did not recognize Moses in Christ. They cannot recognize Christ in Brother Branham. Now he's going to warn us here. Now listen close. Don't miss this now. See, first thing when they consulted the priest, consulted the dignitaries, consulted the military, consulted all the congregation, the neighborhood to get together for this great meeting to come, they failed to do it right. They, one, didn't consult God. And by so doing, not going back to see what time it was. Now they did not then begin to say to themselves, hey, is this the right hour? What is happening? What is happening here? And what is this hour anyway? Now, Brother Branham is continually talking about himself. Now, please never let that go out of your minds. Because if otherwise, you'll be sitting here with a Sunday school lesson. And Brother Branham threw a great curve on the Sunday school lesson bit. Well, he's trying to tell you, I'm going to take all the time in the world teaching you. Everybody, that was Sunday school. Your Mary had a little lamb. Johnny had a goat. Some stupid thing in Sunday school. I know Bible's in Sunday school. You go there. And hear dull people. They got food. He's talking about himself. They didn't consult God. Now the question comes, how do you consult God? Well, you see, I'm going to work. Well, how do you know that your argument is right because there's 10 people argue against you? Of course, they say, you see what it is, in a multitude your lack of not wisdom. So I look around and say, what multitude you talking about? Right. Oh, you're going to outfox yourself by quoting the word. That's worse than Russian roulette. Now listen close. Don't miss this now. See, they didn't consult God. They didn't look and see what time it was. Oh, brother, listen. What time are we living in? What's the age? What's the hour we're in? It's not time for these things that they're talking about. What things are they talking about? Great crusades and revivals. Now the question comes, what do you mean to say that? There's never a time when you shouldn't talk about revival and great crusades. In fact, the Bible says, revive thy works, O God, in the midst of the years. Well, this is the end of the years, not the midst of the years. So what do you do now? Well, see, I don't see it that way. Well, who are we going to find who does tell us something that's seen, correctly? See? Now, you can fail, we can fail to believe this is a juncture. An epical strategic season. We can fail to believe it. We can disregard it. We can say, no way. But what if it is? It's worth a bit of a thought. See? Now, what's the hour? It's not time for these things that they're talking about. See, who could know that but a vindicated prophet? That's past. Judgment is on hand now. What's he telling you? The door of the ark could be closed. Because the rain has started to fall. I'll prove it. You can see it breaking. You remember the rock up on the mountain, judgment hour. Threw the rock in the air and hit the west coast, right? You remember the... Now listen, what is the message of the hour? What should the consultation be? You remember the revelation or vision of the bride? What is the message of this hour? Keep her in step. Don't let her get out of step. Which is what? 1 Corinthians 15. The Lord himself shall descend with the shout. First Thessalonians. But that word shout, which is klusma, which is a direct order, a marching order, and the bride is as terrible as an army, because she is that great army. She'd been given her marching orders, and Brother Branham was placed in charge. And that word subject in 1 Corinthians 15 is from the same word. God bringing his church in order through his revealed word. And your battle dress is an inner vesture. Because it's an inner garment. And it comes at the last trump. Who blows the last trump? The last messenger. Because it's to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 15, there's your great chapter. Somebody putting the church in order. Explaining men and explaining women. They're so mixed up, a man can't tell himself from a woman and a woman from a man. He's got his stupid hair long and over his ears, and she's got hers cut up over the top of her head. She's wearing pants with a zipper in front. I suppose he wears his at the side or the back. God knows. He's a stupid jerk. And she's a prostitute. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. Paul had to come and set a woman in her place and a man in his place. And say, woman, you're a female, and man, you're a male. Right. Then he began talking about church order. How are you going to put a church order with a bunch of short-haired fruities in Pentecost? A bunch of perverted homosexuals. Years before Brother Branham died, I was told absolutely truthfully, there's a bunch of Pentecostal homo preachers down here around, up here around Hammond. Hamilton. The highest stinks, like every other state. Imagine a man of God having to come and tell a woman she's a woman and man's a man. Wasn't it nice when years ago you could tell a man from a woman? But the man said, you see two kids in the back seat, those two men or two women or one of each. It's a pity you got undressing to find out, then you can't tell either. Cotton picking stink, they stink from one end to the other. That's exactly the truth. He put the church in order concerning gifts and things, and then he talked about love, and then he turned straight to the resurrection. And in the resurrection, you can't have it outside of Jesus Christ raising the dead. And the Lord descends with the voice to raise the dead. The church is in order, brother, sister. And God did it. And Brother Brown said, and the bride finds out who she is and finds her order, she'll be gone. It would only take 10 to do it. We've got quite a number here tonight, far more 10. That doesn't mean we all can't go. It means getting a step. See? Billy Paul tells me that Brother Branham told him the very name of the woman that was out of step. When he said, scream, get in step. A woman represents churches more than anything else. See? All right, just keep her in step. Don't let her get out of step. Moving, moving, moving. What are you doing? They're moving more and more into the revelation, which is the life manifested in this hour. And that life must be manifested in us. Because the Bible said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And that means absolutely no doubt as to who is here. Then it says, we shall also appear. Which means absolutely no doubt as to who we are with him in glory. And that's a big wave of glory that takes us plumb out of here. Listen, don't go sticking everything in the millennium, brother, sister. You better stick some of it here or you won't be to any millennium. Remember, Moses categorically said, the great word that you're getting now is going to place you in that promised land, and you'll be using it over there. And I'm going to tell you, the very word we're getting tonight, brothers and sisters, let's face it, is going to stand us in good stead at the white throne judgment. Because this is that hour, and no other hour. Many will come in my name and say, did we not do so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so? And we're going to stand right there as witnesses and say, yeah. Oh, yeah, we know with our God and our Savior, that's exactly right. But we know you turned us down, you turned him down, brought him down, his down, you turned down that word. We're going to stand there, brother, sister. And that word's going to be in our stead at that deed because we knew in whom we had believed and how he did things and what he was doing. We knew the hour. The Bible distinctly said, brother, sister, the earth will not know her hour at this time. Then we had better know the hour. Someone had better know the hour. Somebody better get a hold of God. Someone better consult God. How do you consult God? A bunch of jerks getting together? Ha! Don't call on me. I could tell you nothing. Everything I got's purely secondhand. In the process of trickle-down economy. God's trickle-down economy. You brothers had better be the same, brother, sister. See, there you are, moving, moving, moving up into the resurrection rapture by the word, which is by the shout. Notice, upon the shoulders of the priest. And David and all the priests that really ought to have known better, but what was it? The priest should have known better. The scribes and theologians should have known better, because the word said not to do that. Now, just a minute. Did the word really say not to do that? No, not to my knowledge. The word told them how to do what. And so, therefore, when they didn't do the how of the what, they were in direct disobedience. So God didn't have to say, now don't do it that way, although he did at times. He said, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way. That's the vision. You ever worked with somebody that you can't tell them anything? Ha! Don't answer that question. Pete hasn't had that trouble at all. No, Pete told me he never ever had that trouble. He said, I just don't hire anybody that knows something, he said, because then they don't listen to me. That's right, isn't it, Pete? I don't know. Don't be embarrassed. It's the truth. I'm with you 100%. I don't know much about building or anything else, but I know you're right on that one. Train them the way they ought to go, the Bible says. But how can you work if somebody's already got the answers? You know what you want done. You know, if you were smart as the boss, you'd be the boss. That's only logical. And if you're smarter than the boss, you'll take what you know and get on your own and give me a whole lot more money he's made. But that's not the way it goes. That stewardship back again. You ought to know him better. See, so the word did not say not to do so-and-so. It says how to do it. Then deviation would, of course, be contrary. So why would God have to repeat himself? See, so Brother Branham came to bring back a true divine church order, a fivefold member, and everything in divine order, which is done by the word. And let's face it, that's the big thing. And today when they want to say, oh, Jesus Christ isn't the same yesterday and forever. Now listen to what he says. That's mental telepathy. Where in the world do you associate mental telepathy with Hebrews 13 and 8? So therefore, Hebrews 13 and 8 is not what people think it is. Hebrews 13 and 8 is Deuteronomy 18. Is John 4. The reading of the heart. Not mental telepathy. Because mental telepathy cannot know if the boy is going to be healed. Or the cross eye straight. See? Can't do it. So he's talking about Hebrews 13 being Genesis 18 and John 4. This, that, is they fail to see the promised word. Now, admit it. The promised word is Hebrews 13 and 8, which is called mental telepathy. So what is that promise? That's a promise that nobody but William Branham could bring to our attention, which is what? Luke 17, wherein it says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. What happened in the days of Lot? Just before the destruction, God stood there in a human form and read the heart of Sarah and predicated the conditions which would bring the child in flesh upon the earth. Same thing today. That is Hebrews 13 and 8. That's why I keep saying Mark 16 is peripheral. Because he excoriated the Baptists for not having Mark 16, and he kicked the daylights out of the Pentecostals for having it. Don't think just because you raised the dead and healed the sick, Judas did the same thing. You Baptists, you don't believe at all. So the Baptists are dead. The Pentecostals are dead. Why? Because Hebrews 13 and 8 is not that. Hebrews 13 is intrinsically God, 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 God. What he is and how he does it. Not what he gives to you and me. No, not what he gives to you and me. What he does. And you and I see it. And then we take what he wants us to have. So that's Hebrews 13 and 8. Otherwise, I don't know what Brother Brand's talking about. For the old that day was gone. Meaning God doesn't have that anymore. That's over with. So a prophet comes on the scene. Oh, God doesn't have prophets. Where do you find in Scripture God doesn't have prophets? Where do you find that? Nobody can find that. Oh, they fool around with it. And now, you know, every time I even think of this, I just burn to a crisp. I'm not going to think of it. I'm going to pass that one over. I keep reading. David said, oh, well, now, wait a minute. Upon the shoulders of the priest, that was back when Moses came out. Sure, we'll put it on a new cart today. I got a revelation of it. Now, let's face it. This is their excuse to reject the prophet. Well, that happened back there. This is another day. See? Man's idea of a word in season. Oh, this is today. See? All right. What about Hebrews 12, where there's got to be someone speak? What about Revelation 10, when someone's got to speak? Who's it going to be? Well, it's got to be a prophet. This is all it can be. Now, look, if you took any real true theologian, I don't care who he'd be, and you faced him with these facts and say, no, not just hold it. Just let's pretend that something is yet to come forth. Let's just pretend that Hebrews 12 really means what Hebrews 12 said, that this is really the word of God through Paul, that he's going to speak one more time. He's got it. How's he going to do it? Well, I had a dream last night. In a dream I saw writing upon the heavens. Or I read over in Sweden. And you know, the Swedes have the greatest bunch of... I say, phony miracles. To me, they gotta be. What's it ever done for them? What's it ever done? Writing in the sky. A white rock predicted to be in a coal mine or a cross. And they dig it out. Poor fella come to me today and he making a noise like a lion. That was supposed to be something. That's like the guy down south with a 6-inch pick, supposed to pick the bride into glory. I wonder if the Lord smiles at things. I honestly cannot believe that God could enjoy some of the things I'm saying. I think he must be embarrassed for me because I'm embarrassed for the people that I talk about without mentioning names. What is the matter with people anyway? What is this anyway? What in the world would you say would fulfill Hebrews 12 and Revelation 10? What would do it? How's it going to be done? Go to the Bible and find out. And when you do find out, you'll have to find out it's a man like Samuel. Right? I'm glad you said amen, because if you didn't, I was just going to make it hard for you. I'm going to say, who didn't say amen? I'm going to just clobber you right now. Listen. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed, utterly destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. Discerning. Who are you going to consult? A discerner. Amen. Now the Bible speaks of consulting wizards that peep. Bunch of chickens. Not the prophet that screams. Peep and mutter. They peep. Chickens. Little chickens. And they mutter. You see, they can't stand up and tell the truth, thus saith the Lord, and be vindicated by God. They can't do it. Now, you search the Bible. And brother, sister, you and I both know you've got to come to the Bible where you find some place where somebody could consult God. And you find Moses that wrote the word. And they said, Moses, we found this man picking up sticks on the Sabbath. What should happen? He said, put him in quarantine. I'll inquire tomorrow. So he went to God and he said, now, Lord, what about this man? God said, you got to stone him because he did wrong. Now, the Bible is full of where you go to consult. Now, the thing is that we don't have anybody to consult. Well, just a minute. There was a man here you could have consulted. There was? No, you don't mean that. No, because my pastor would know. Don't trust your pastor. If you've had him like I've had him, forget it. They're so influenced by that all dollar bill, they don't care about anything else. Their crowd. I like very few people. And I love them. I'm not crowd-oriented. They scare me. The priest said, Amen, David. See? Influenced not by the prophet, but by their new ecumenical council, that they should all be together and do this way and that way, that's what caused the priest to stumble. I thought the oxen stumbled. These aren't sheep, they're cattle. They take the way of least resistance. They're not God's people. They never consulted the right person. Not person, person. See? They didn't do it right. Therefore, they got in trouble. Yeah, as he said. You see, they didn't look for a prophet. You know, prophets are very wonderful people. Very marvelous about prophets. Let's look at the prophet back here that was ahead of Jesus. You know, John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Now, you know, that didn't make John any great person in himself. Because, you know, John, full of the Holy Ghost, he could identify Jesus Christ by God talking to him. And said, the man that you see, the pillar of fire, he said, coming like a dove, that's the one. And then you know what happened? He got jittery afterward. Same man, same as full of the same Holy Ghost. He said, were you the one or should you look for another one? Now that same thing's happening today. People are looking for another William Branham. An eighth messenger. Why? William Branham, were you the one or do we look another? Well, he said, I'll tell you what. If the one that follows me is a man, then I wasn't that one. Well, naturally. The one that followed me, that one. But I must decrease and he must increase. Who's that? That one there. Okay, let's read. About John the Baptist. And John the Baptist shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers and children, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just. In other words, to make the people understand what is going on. That will make them ready. The prepared people will be ready. In other words, the elect bride at that time had to have somebody. And the elect bride at this time has to have somebody. Elijah, the same spirit, pointing to Christ, identifying that she might be ready to get her wedding garment on. So see, brother, sister, we're on good, hallowed, sacred ground. Praise the Lord. You know, in Chicago and Waterloo, they confronted Brother Branham, and it didn't do him any good. Except one thing, it brought condemnation. We haven't talked about this thing reversing. I'm going to have time tonight to do it. I don't think we'll get that far. Now, I'm afraid of a lot of things today. When a great teacher, on a Pentecostal great, stood before the religious group the other night in Chicago, I was supposed to have that meeting of business, man, but I thought it'd be in Africa that time, but just got back the day before it started. And they chose a great Pentecostal intellectual. He got up there and told him his ecumenical move was a thing of God. Now, this great preacher, Pentecost, said ecumenism is a thing of God. And he said that all of those are coming back, even the Catholic Church, is going to come back to its original condition. That doesn't do them any good. They ceased to be the original Catholic Church, brother, sister, because the Jews were all kicked out of Jerusalem. And then they built it on paganism. And a poor old Polycarp claimed to bring them back to Christ, a voice done in heaven, the same words concerning Ephraim, leave him alone, Ephraim is joined to her idols. But he went all the way to Rome, and they kicked him out. All speaking in tongues for the evidence and so forth, and not knowing it's a trap of the devil. The Catholic Church will indeed come into the
But this is what they're looking for. And the Protestants will come with them. They're into the trap. And a man that I didn't know, sometimes you plant a seed, you don't know what's going to happen, but they're present in the full gospel in the middle. As soon as the great speaker sat down and said, I'm prone not to say things against our speakers, but this isn't the way Brother Branham said it would happen. But he said that would lead to the mark of the beast. The speaker said, but Brother Branham doesn't know what he's talking about. And the president said, we believe he does. And in Chicago, they said, how many are here would like to have me come up and give my version of it? They began screaming and shouting, see, you're planting seed. You don't know what's going to happen. Just keep laying out the seed. When the hour comes, some of them, you know, in due season, of course, will faint if reap not. Like Thomas, he was about the last one to see the Lord, but he had to see him to believe him. See, when they see it happen, old Thomas came in, but it was a little bit late. Now, that's making us sit up and take notice. We had better know the truth of what we're talking about in these sermons. If I'm telling you wrong, you better get someone to tell you right, if you're depending on someone to help you. See, when the denominations see this message or begin teaching it, many are teaching a part of it right now. Hey, Brother Branham said, it's all over. Well, that could mean what, all over? No more to come in. See? Now, when they see the things that are predicted and saying thus and see and saying thus that the Lord happens, then they say, give us some of your oil. This is the time when thus that the Lord was in season. It's past now. It's gone. That's the time they began looking for the very thing that Brother Branham had, but they didn't get it. You know why? Because he was strictly a word product. And word comes to word. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet, and the prophet is a product of God. Before you were in the womb, before you were formed, in the egg and the sperm, and before then I knew you. You are nothing but a visible attribute of the thoughts of God. See? Now, in due season, now he said, thus saith the Lord, give us your oil. More to the point, they were saying, let us get what Brother Branham has and go and use it. That was the appearing of the Son of Man. They didn't misunderstand it 100%. Many people believe this message, they misunderstand it too. But now notice the influence. Sometimes great guys get together and hear them say, great so-and-so and great so-and-so are great so-and-so. Don't ever do that. There's no great ones amongst us. There's only one great one, that's God. We are brothers and sisters. I don't care if you're a pastor of a church that's got 500. That doesn't make you little. That makes you a brother. I like that. A little church doesn't make you little. A big church doesn't make you big. It makes you a brother. Makes you a sister. See? There's only one great one, that's God. We are brothers and sisters. I don't care if you're a pastor of a church that's got 5 people. Doesn't matter. Makes you a brother. If you're true to God's word, I don't care what. You don't get little. In other words, there's no way you're still. He preaches equality and quality. Brother Branham preaches equality and quality in this message. God doesn't have little children and big children. He just has children, and they're all the same. There's no grandchildren either. Paul stressed that, of course. Notice, God himself came from the ivory palaces of glory to become one of us. Now, who's the big one? Not came down here to take the form of a priest, but a servant. And washed the very clay he created. The feet of the apostles, now who's great? So the foot washing then has a lesson for us here. And that is, there's no great ones. We're all just people who love the Lord. So foot washing by symbolizes the condescension of Christ and begets humility in us. It is a great leveling ordinance. The wine and bread exalts Christ. Foot washing admits his preeminence and our lowliness, that he's above all. But influenced these men were. They didn't understand. They thought something new was going to happen. No, something that God didn't say was going to happen. They went at it the wrong way. That's what all this enthusiasm, when the revival started back yonder a long time ago, each denomination had a divine healer. Each denomination had this, had that, or the other. Each denomination had his little David. Each one had this, that, or the other. See what happened? It's done the same thing it did here. Same thing. Influence. Now, what was Brother Branham's influence? It was supposed to be for a bride. True. But the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The tares and the wheat. So therefore, this anointing went over, and that's all it did was anoint. See, the manifested word is supposed to influence, and it does. But remember, the oil, or the rain, wheat, and tare. The word for the season, the time they were living in, was ignored. Now, what time is that? See, that's the thing. How do you know the time? Brother Branham said the Spirit comes into the church to reveal the time. Does he tell us? No, he tells always to the messenger of the church, not to the individuals within it. Notice the Levite shoulders were the original provided way of God to do these things. Pack that ark on the Levite shoulders. Anything outside of that was contrary. What God said, that's what he meant. God cannot change. That's the reason to stay with his word. Few people can, of course.
They don't seem to have the ability. I've got Chronicles 15:15, if you want to put it down, 1 Chronicles. Now notice, they're in following God. I want you to kind of jot this in your mind. To keep God's commandments, to have anything right for God, to do a service correctly. There are 5 musts to do God's service correctly. Now David was doing God a service. He was doing everything he knew to do, except leaving off God. Now, if he's doing everything he needed to do except leaving off God, it sounds like that he had to leave God off. It doesn't say that. He was doing everything, but he didn't take God into it. He thought God would be in it because he was doing a good thing. He thought this had to be God because, look, hey, I'm leaning toward it. This is what it should be, so this got to be good. Doesn't work that way. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. See? He's telling us that. These 5 musts. See, he was doing something that was right, something good for the people, something good for the church. Now, that sounds very strange, doesn't it? She sure does. It's a tremendous statement. Sounds just like Cain and Abel. Poor old Cain. These 5 musts, I want you to remember these. No matter how sincere a man may be in doing it, doing God a service, 5 musts. First, it must be his time to do it. If that doesn't only mean the man's time, it means God's time. It must be God's time to do it. Or the time for the man to do it. What if Moses had come and said, we'll build an ark and float up the Nile like Noah did? Noah's time was all right for an ark, but this was Moses' time. So therefore, Exodus instructions or conditions are the same as the rapture. We've got a rapture time. It's rapture time. There is something that we have to know about the rapture. There is something in season. Okay, time. What if Jesus had come and said, now I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go to the mountain like Moses did and get a new declaration of law. See? Uh-uh. He was that law. See? You must be in his time. It must be in his season. You got that now. That's exactly right. Because listen, Revelation 22, beginning at verse 9, but read mostly from 10. Seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. What time is at hand? To walk to the tree of life. Now remember, it's been veiled, and man has been stopped with the sentence of death. What word will come from God at this hour to retrieve the death sentence and say, walk to it? Well, I think, Brother Vail, that will come automatically. Well, you're thinking entirely wrong, honey. You just blew it. It doesn't come automatically. Because God said something must happen or I'll destroy all this here. Amen. Then where are the ones that are going to walk to the tree? So it's not automatic. The automatic is gone. The promise must come from God. Elijah must come. Amen. You can do what you want, but Elijah must come. You say he's coming to Jews. I don't give a rip where he's coming. Elijah's got to come. And he better come or there'll be destruction. That means me, that means you. But I think it's going to pass me. Give me some proof, kid. That means you hit you with a 4x4 and knock your brains out and you see you bring yourself back to life. Then I don't know, you can do something. Oh, I mean that. Well, come on. You better give me something decent, reasonable. You can't just tell me. I'm not going to just tell you. You see, brother, sister, how ridiculous this whole thing is. If you don't go to God's Word and find out what God says about a certain time, a certain thing, a certain area. Brother Brown is telling the truth, but you see, this is pedantic. This is pedantic. Something you can take with the mind and say, well, hey, you know, that's nice thinking. There's 5 things. 1, 2, 3, 4. I know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, you know. A, B, C, D. No, it's not that at all. It's spiritual revelation. Amen. It's a spiritual revelation. Of which you are a part, like John the Baptist was getting the people that were prepared, getting them ready. The vessels prepared are mean elected. And the elected need some help. Yeah. They need help. What's he going to do? Send a prophet. Behold, I send you John the Baptist. I send you Elijah. And that was John, and now it's William Branham. They say, well, I tell you, I don't believe it's William Branham. Okay, then you get Elijah. But Brother Jack Moore is a fine brother. He said he believed that John the Baptist was Elijah. Now he said, I'll tell you, if I was looking for Elijah, I'd Brother Branham get my vote. Well, I wasn't looking for Elijah, and Brother Branham gets my vote. Elijah looked for me, evidently. Spirit of God did. Okay. See, it must be in his season. You got that? Okay. Jesus said, now we're going to have a declaration of laws. Well, God has a timetable, and if you don't think God's got a timetable, and our time's just about up here, I know. Romans, the 11th chapter, and notice, verse 25, for I wouldn't have you ignorant that you ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits. Blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So it tells you right here, God's got a time and a season. Israel cannot have its eyes open until every Gentile is in. Now, Israel's in the homeland. So something is happening. How long will Israel be blind? Only until we're all in. When do we all get in? At the time Elijah comes. What is Elijah going to do? He's going to restore. What's going to precede it? It's going to be a revival. A breath of fresh air from the presence of God. What happened when he appeared there in 1933? The revival was on and hit the world in 1946. And continued. And the seals came. God speaking. We had it. They said, I don't believe it. Fine, I don't care what anybody believes. Look, I'm not here to convince anybody. I'm a teacher. You believe what I believe or you wouldn't be here sitting here. Must be in his time. Must be in his season. Time and season. Then it must be according to his word that has been spoken. Okay? What's in the Bible talks about it. What have you got? I don't care how well you might say this ought to be and that ought to be or whatever ought to be. It's got to be according to his word, according to his time and his season. That's three right there. For it must be given according to the person he's chosen to do it by. So right there you are. People say, I tell you, I'm going to bring this thing to pass. We're all going to pray. We're all going to pray. All going to kiss. All going to make up. All going to confess. Get right down in the dirt. We're going to grovel. Yes, sir. We're going to get right in there. Yes, sir. We're going to get in there with God. Yes, sir. We'll bring it to pass. Oh, will you? That's nice thinking. I've been to those meetings. It doesn't bring it to pass. It causes confusion. Yes, sir, because you think you're going to... Oh, hey, we're in shape now. Oh, ho, we're in shape. Oh, we're in shape. Bless God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you? Ha! Just wait till the old girl forgets to put salt in your porridge next morning. You forgot what you prayed last night and did last night. Yeah. Ha, ha. You think I'm kidding? I'm telling you the truth. I may be smiling and grinning at you, but it's not been in those meetings, honey. And I've seen them happen in the people that call themselves Branham followers. And what happens? They go right into sin. You think Jones's bunch went through that and then got women going? That's not a bleak remark. I'll just repeat it again in case you didn't hear me. He boasted about how they repented and hugged and cried and got everything right. The next thing I know, they're preaching polygamy, living in sin. Brother Man said it was wrong. Just an excuse to pander to their filth. Like anybody says, you want to be original? Then you go back to one wife. That's all Adam had. A bunch of Mormon girls tried to tell me. Well, I said, Jacob had several wives. I said, let's go back to Adam, kid. You just take me to Jacob. I'm going right back to the original. How many Eves were there? She knew I had her. I didn't want her. You can have the Mormons any money. The truth. See? I don't care how many dignitaries there are. There's King David, just as great as any of them. He's king of the nation. But he had a way of doing it, and he had told them how he would do it, but they failed. See? How different from the Goliath scene, when he humbly stood there and said, I don't want this untried arm. What are you trying to pull on me? He said, that's a heathen dog. He said, I've killed lions. This fellow's nothing but a snake. Nothing to him. Took his five pebbles and went up there and just knocked the guy right out. Chopped his head with his own sword. He had a leading brother, sister. He blew this one. Not against David, a wonderful man of God. Had no problem. He just blew it. See? Must be according to his word, according to his time, according to his program. He must be the person that God has given it to. So there you are. We're going to quit that because the time's over. So you see what we're talking about, brother, sister? We're not talking too much here about doing God a service and you and I learning how to do God a service. We're talking about a prophet, William Branham, perfectly in the will of Almighty God, fulfilling all the scripture in our behalf, yes, that God said would devolve upon us by this man. And you're seeing it done right here. This is not some little message Pentecost and Baptist Methodists take up. This is bride material. Or you understand what's being said to a bride. You follow me? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of this little message, thanking you, Lord, that we can take our time with the people and just go by word, and know that this is the prophet showing himself in you, Lord, and what is going on in our midst. And we can have confidence because we know that everything he is saying is exactly right, and we, believing it, Lord, become exactly in tune with it, believing, Lord, in our hearts that somehow We will not only be in tune, but we will be a part of it, and it a part of us until the promise becomes our life and we become the fulfilled promise of this word and get out of here, Lord, in a rapture or by resurrection, whichever you choose. But knowing, Lord, that we are putting all the glory upon you in your way. We may not be doing it right, Lord, and we may be pretty carnal inside, which we wouldn't argue for 1 minute that we're not the spiritual people we should be. But Father God in heaven, our eyes are single to this light that there was a prophet, and that prophet in a human form had the great prophet Jesus Christ that we believe is here tonight to lead us into the millennium, the same pillar of fire. Going to raise the dead and take us right in there, right up into the rapture, be incarnated before us where we can crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not that he isn't, but we will have that pleasure of so doing. Lord, what a fantastic thing to see this and to believe it. We give thee the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you now.